that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this Saturday morning, August, what is it now? August 9th, 2014. And we welcome you here. And got a studio full and the lines on and open. Let me get all the buttons pushed. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, David.
Good morning.
Appreciate you joining us this morning. And I think we got the men online. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we got John on, too. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, the remnant. And unless anybody's got something real big they want to get out first, we'll sure do that, but we'll just open the phone lines, have them open, kind of like a open mic morning, something like that. They have open mic night down at the little karaoke place down the road, so why not open mic morning? And we'll have the phone lines open if you want to call in, but John, you want to open us up in prayer first, and then we'll go from there?
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning grateful for this time that you saw fit to set aside for your people, the remnant. Grateful for the man who you gave the idea to and started this many years ago. And Lord, we do pray that it would be a benefit to the remnant. We pray that you'd guide and direct our thoughts, give us wisdom and understanding, and that you would show us what it is that your people need to know and need to hear about it. And Lord, we pray that you would convict your people that are listening, the remnant, to call in and to express their feelings and concerns and reveal truths that you may have shown them as well, Lord. We just pray for your blessings on this assembly today over the radio. Come against any demonic, satanic spirits that would try to stop it from going out. Just pray for your tech angels to to be working, keeping the transmitters running and all of the electronic equipment. Lord, we're so grateful that you're a God of grace and mercy. And we do pray that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming, and that you'd remember grace and mercy in your wrath. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, amen. So, well, guys, we'll just throw it out there. I already looked around here, and
seen some blank faces.
We saw some blank faces this morning.
Coffee drinkers.
So, yeah, they're still in the coffee this morning. And so, Jason, didn't know if you had anything particular you wanted to start out with this morning, but we'll sure put it down there for you.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of living in exciting times, I guess, is puts it quite well. I noticed that Russia did another flyby up in Alaska, right by the U.S. border here yesterday. And that was the second one that they've done of those in the last, the last, I'd say, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. But, that conflict over there you can tell that it's orchestrated, but it's like, you know, how far are they going to let it take it, too? And that's what you got to wonder. But it's, something to, keep in your prayers. And, a lot of these things, it's sometimes hard to even talk about it because you don't want people to get scared and you don't want them to be afraid. But at the same time, it's important to be aware of some of these things that are going on just so you know what you can pray about, what you can pray for, what you can pray against. And, it's all about being informed also. But, they came up, they were on the, it just basically did a flyby. We're escorted away by U.S. Planes, and it's interesting. It's always, something that there's always more than meets the eye, but at the same time, it's like they really want us to, they keep pointing our eyes at Russia, and, something to be aware of, something to keep in your prayers, too.
Amen. And I like how you put that.
We've got prophecies of Gog and Magog, we talk about them, and not to be an expert on it, don't understand a whole lot of it, but, I do believe that Russia ties into that, so.
Yeah, amen. I like, too, what you said, that, there's always somebody in the background orchestrating it, that unseen third party, and, if they're focusing our attention there, you better kind of turn around and see what's going on somewhere else as well. This week, so we had Russia doing flybys on us up in Alaska. That's a long way from the Ukraine. We bombed Iraq, I guess, this week. That's kind of new. But it was for humanitarian reasons. That's why we bombed them.
Instead of weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, no. We're bombing them because they're coming against religious minorities over there. And, that's what we're known for, is bombing people when they come against religious minorities.
Yeah, especially Christians.
Yeah, especially. And so, it's there's no rhyme or reason, this government that we have. You talk about being carried by the winds, doing this, doing that. It seems like that sometimes. And then if we remember what Jason said, usually it's orchestrated. Our pastor taught us that, we're still learning, okay, these are the red circles, and those are the black circles, and this is a checkerboard, right? Okay. We're still learning that at times, and they're playing chess. But
well, the big thing is wag the dog, I think. Watch what's going on over here in Russia, and watch what's going on over here in Iraq, but don't worry about the millions and multi-millions that are coming into the country, the invasion locus of Joel. And as you start to bring that up to people, I brought that up to several people this week at work and stuff, and they're like, wow, you know, really? Is that really what it means? I thought it was a bunch of locusts coming in, you know? And I said, well, you ought to read it. It'll only take you 45 minutes, yeah. Three chapters. And but, you know, if they don't have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, they haven't been washed in the blood, they haven't had the scales removed from their eyes, and then they can't see it.
Absolutely. Well, we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, get the buttons pushed here. And if you want to call in and have any thoughts or comments this morning, I'd encourage you to
I did notice they got a, you know, they did a poll recently, and, you know, people that put their trust in government is at an all-time low. And I thought that was interesting and encouraging, too. Because I've often thought that, you know, trust is one of those things that, you know, you're going to put your trust somewhere, you know, and so many people have made their government their God, and they put their trust in their little g God. And what, you know, it, and I've often thought that when that changes, that there's going to be a transfer from that trust, from a man's government, their little g God, to their heavenly Father. And you know, this recent study just says that 13% of Americans think that or believe that their government does what is right most of the time. And, you know, 13%, that's down additional 40%. And I think that was pretty encouraging to me, because it just makes me think that, too, that, you know, now is the time to talk to people about putting their trust in God. And I know that I've talked to people recently who are open to it. You know, it's like they're gonna, you know, they've lost their faith in their gods, and their gods have failed them. And, you know, that's, I think that's prophetic also. Because there's gonna be, just because of that transfer, it's like, okay, you know, their gods have failed them. You know, so now people are coming to the point where, you know, they're looking around. You know, and for a lot of them, it's not going to be overnight, and it's not going to be a miraculous change at the snap of a fingers. But they're open to it, and they're looking, and they're, you know, when you lose faith in something that you've had faith in for so long, trust, when you look to it for your welfare, and it's failing, you look somewhere else. It's like one of those laws of thermodynamics that, you know, you're gonna have your faith and your trust somewhere. You're gonna have your fears somewhere. We've talked a lot about that here on the program, but it just seems to me that it's important to remember to, when you're talking to people, you know, to talk to them about, you know, well, we're putting your trust in God. And I think that because, you know, it's coming to pass that now is that time. And I think that, you know, if everybody out there would constantly do that when they're talking to people, you know, well, you're going to have to trust God. It makes people think. And a lot of people, you know, say that, but do they really do it?
Good point. We talk many times about the plans that the enemy has. Oh, they're planning concentration camps, and they're planning this, and they're planning that. And they probably are. There's no doubt about that. And but, you know, God has plans, too. Way back in Jeremiah 29, he says, in 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." And, you know, his plan is always better than our plan. And his plan always, you know, back in the days of Egypt, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, Pharaoh had a plan. And everybody thought that Pharaoh's plan was going to come through. And when Pharaoh and his army were tearing down on Moses and God's people, God had a better plan. And God's plan always wins out.
Right. Yeah, I was reading an article this week. We already know that there's a famine of God's word. That's evident everywhere you look. But we also know that there's a famine that's being set up regarding physical food. And I was reading an article this week about, it says, the farmers in America's breadbasket, the region that feeds not only the nation but the world, are literally running out of water for their crops. That's because the source they depend on for decades, the Ogallala Aquifer, is dangerously close to going dry. Combine that with all of the drought conditions across the world, and you have a recipe for disaster. And then NBC News put it as billions could starve. But what's interesting is that aquifer, they can't even really explain how it came into existence. And no matter what the rainfall is, they believe that the rain won't replenish that aquifer. Well, it's obvious what it was, is it was the breadbasket of this country, and God put that aquifer there to provide the water, to provide the food for his people. But now that his people are turning away from him, guess what? He's drying up the aquifers. So we're seeing the drought that's happening from above and below. Pretty significant. That aquifer apparently expands through five states, Texas, Nebraska, South Dakota. I don't even know what the other ones are. But I thought that was pretty significant.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Because that thing is constantly, they've monitored it for years. And it never seemed like how much water they pulled out of it. It always, the water level always came up. And they've tried figuring out where the water was coming from, and they couldn't. It just, they drain it down and it fill back up. And
yep.
It's interesting when talking to BP people, because I've asked them, where do you think that water came from? And that's something that just people really don't think about. And I believe that was a blessing from God, that God filled that up, put it back in there. And God can turn on the water faucet; He can turn it off just as easy. And
He will. Said He will.
Absolutely. They're talking about the aquifers over here in Colorado, eastern Colorado. They were aquifers that for years, people thought they'd never go dry. That'll never go dry. That's always, those water rights over there, they're going to be worth all kinds of money. And you know what they're finding out? It's water table's dropping on it.
Yep.
Yeah, and you're seeing that all over, out in the further out west. We've talked about that in the last 6-8 months, the drought maps that they put out, and more of the United States is in a drought than is not. And we've had some nice rains here, but those little rains, that's not what gets you out of the drought. And they've had heavy rains down, I know, in Florida. I've talked to people down there that, boy, they've just got water everywhere. But it's a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah, God's blessed us with, a record hay crop so far?
Looks like it. Looks like it. And, we got notes from Tom out in Montana. He finished haying this year, and he was talking about it. Looked like a record crop for him. And those plans,
Lord.
I think, is like Jason said, make sure now's the time to be. It's not maybe we don't have to be standing on the street corner. Preaching out. But when you're talking with your friends, with your work acquaintances, with the people you see at the gas station, whatever it is, let them know, hey, yeah, there's plans out there, but God has better plans. And no matter what comes, whether it's an invasion from the south, a drought, as John put it, from above and below, or the Russians flying by, it doesn't matter for his people. All through Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. If you're not familiar with them, if you're reading the Bible through in a year, you've just finished those up here in the last week or so, and it really is a foreshadowing, a telling of the times that we're in now. And it's not all doom and gloom. It's certainly doom and gloom for those that don't believe, for those that won't change their ways, for those that won't listen to the truth. Then, you know, it is doom and gloom for them. But I encourage you, read Jeremiah 29. It's the message to the exiles. And, you know, we almost once again have become exiles here in our own country. It's not that we've been dispersed out among the heathen all around the world or in the different countries around us, but we've been exiled, one in Texas, two in Colorado, three over here, four there. I'd read earlier, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity." Now, that's not the kind of welfare that the people are used to hearing today. Plans for welfare, and I'll have to look that up to see just what that is. But it's to take care of you. You know, plans for you to prosper and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And part of these plans, it goes on in verse 12, says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord." And so to me, that's good news.
And, absolutely.
And, you know, our people need to hear that good news. They need to hear it and understand that if we seek Him, I mean, that's His promise. He says, "You'll find me when you call upon me." Well, you got to know His name to be able to do that, for one thing. You got to know, it goes on after that and says, you know, don't believe your prophets. Don't believe your dreamers and your people that have visions, because they're prophesying falsely and they're not following me. And boy, isn't that where we're at today?
Yeah. Well, Psalms 91 comes to mind. I think, well, we got a 91st day coming up, what, in a week from Monday, right? Or is it the 18th this month, or 17th to 18th? Anyway, it's coming up.
I'm sorry, I had to turn my mic off for a second. It's I think it's September, actually, but it's coming.
Oh, it's right. You're right.
Yeah, I think it's September 18th or something.
But
yeah,
that's one of the main things that's came out after the pastor brought out those 91st days is how much encouragement and strength and confidence and hope. If you study and read Psalms 91, I mean, there's other psalms that are almost to the equivalent, but nothing quite like Psalms 91. And it talks about all these things we've been talking about today, and and the diseases that come over from other countries, the Ebola or whatever it happens to be, whether it's a bird flu or whether it's a certain type of mosquito or what. We're protected from all those things if God is our refuge, you know, if we're in Christ. And that's where all hope comes from. I think of the time when I was a little boy and we had three channels on our TV, you know, and most of those shows had nothing to do with news. There was no CNN or Fox News or even the Weather Channel. There was silliness.
Yeah, if you wanted to know the weather, you just looked outside.
Yeah, there was silliness. But I still think that even back then, Christian people knew that the Gog and Magog war had to do with Russia. Now, I don't know how far that goes. You know, I don't know how far they knew that, whether they knew it clear back in the days of Christ or not. my guess is they did, because they probably knew more about Gog and Magog than we ever know. You know, no matter how many prophecy books we read, you know, so they knew the whole time that there's only one way to be protected from all these things, and that's where the hope is. That's where the change comes in that Jason was talking about, how people are giving up on the government. That's where it's got to be, is right there. While everybody else is hiding and running for the hills in the rocks and everything else, man, we can just pray to the Lord and have him protect us. Now, that doesn't mean somebody's not going to die. People die. You have an appointed time to die in the flesh, but that means your soul is not going to die, you know, and that goes back to the fear thing, you know. Pray to the one that, you know, not only can kill you, but also can destroy your soul and cast it into hell. You know, so that's soul encouragement, you know, and if you get the opportunity to spread the news, which for some reason a lot of people have trouble with that. I have trouble with it at times. But usually after you just get it started, one of two things will happen. It'll be time to dust off your feet and move on, or it'll be good fellowship, and yep. there'll be an ear wanting to hear, or eye wanting to see, you know, and it might be yours, you know, because sometimes I've been thinking I'm gonna tell this guy something he don't know, and I end up hearing something I don't know, you know, and that's where we're at today, and you know, and that might be where we're gonna be for another 50 years, I don't know, but that's where we're at today, and I think about how fast, when we were talking about this the other day, how short this country is. I mean, how little time we've been in the United States, you know, from the 1700s to now is such a drop in the bucket. Yeah. And we went from everybody moving west and relying only on their God to get them there. They weren't relying on George Washington to get them from the East Coast to the West Coast. They were relying on God, and that was their rock, their large R rock, and that's the times we live in, with all these plagues and everything else we got going to come down, and they are going to come down, you know, whether we see them or not, they're going to come down.
You know? Well,
everybody else out there must be sleeping in this morning, huh, John? The phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. You know, Kyle, along those lines, I think that's a good lead into the video we have, God Save America Again. We even have T-shirts. And it goes along with what we read in Jeremiah. It certainly goes along with Psalms 91. You know, those who dwell in the shadow of the Most High. It doesn't say everybody. It doesn't say you who believe. It's those who dwell with him. Those who abide with Christ is a good way
and
to put it.
It's a few. I mean,
it's a few.
Many are called, and we're not even talking about the ones that aren't called.
Right.
Many are called, but few are chosen.
Yeah. You know? So we have a video, though, we'd be glad to send you. It's called God Save America Again. And the again is that, because he saved us before. And it's time for his people that are here in this new Jerusalem, Jerusalem, to turn back to him, to turn away from the American idols and the small g gods and the prosperity gospels and the false teachings that the Bible warns so much about, and it's time to return to him, because time is running out. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, Richard. This is Tim, the truck driver. I'm calling from Idaho.
Well, good morning, Tim. Let me pour you a cup of coffee here. We appreciate you joining us. How are the roads out there?
They're pretty good. You know, no problem at all. And it's even raining. It rained a little bit here last night, so that's good.
Well, that's good to hear.
Anyway, I wanted to read something from Acres. I got a copy of a recent copy of Acres magazine. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yes.
But this is an article written by Jack Wax, but it's about a Russian guy who's living in America. And anyway, to just quote quote a little bit of the article. It says, official Russian agriculture reports indicated that in 2006, household plots occupying only 2.9% of agricultural land produced 53% of all food, while the remaining 47% came from large agricultural enterprises and individual farmers that occupied 97.1% of agricultural lands. Based on these official numbers, Sharaskin calculates that production on dashas, that's a little, that's Russian for little plots,
right,
and in food plots, is currently 38 times more efficient in terms of land use than the official agriculture.
Wow.
Hello?
Yes. Well, you know that...
I thought I'd just pass that on to you because that's kind of like, you know, hey, like we can live, you know, we don't need agribusiness to survive. So if agribusiness goes belly up, we can still make it.
Good point.
Amen. As long as God's with us.
That's right. That's right.
Well, yeah. That's for sure. You know, if he's with you, who can be against you? And if he's against you, you know, who could be with you, you know?
Amen. Amen. Tim, thanks for sharing
that. That's what I like to, you know, tell these people that talk about, you know, taking on the Monsanto Corporation. It's a giant. There's no way you can do anything. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, absolutely, there is. There's a lot you can do. And they said, well, what can you do? You know, how can you fight a giant? I said, well, David fought giant. And you know, he beat him. And, you know, it's the same way. You know, God can turn that whole thing around. You know, what a lot of people's problems are is they look at some of these giants like the Monsanto Corporation, and they don't believe that there's anything that they can do, and they don't believe that that they can be beaten. You know, and you know, I believe that, you know, God can take those Monsanto crops and make it where they won't sprout, where they won't germinate, where they don't grow. Period. You know, end of story. I mean, it could be wiped out in one season. You know, it could be wiped out in one day. You know, if you know, God sees fit. You know, right now we're receiving the chastisement for, you know, the wager of sin.
Yep. Amen.
Good point. Tim, thanks for sharing that. You be safe out on the road, okay?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
You know, when he mentioned that, if you read the history book, the true history book, The Light and the Glory, and the founding of this nation, yeah, when before Monsanto was around, before you could run down to Walmart or Safeway or Publix and get your groceries, you know, when the Pilgrims landed and they were dying, and they tried that bit of socialism, of the collective farm. You know, here's the collective farm, and everybody has to work at it, and then everybody gets out of it. And they just about died that first year trying to do that. And then the second year, they still had the collective farm, but they had it where they said, okay, now you plant your own little garden at your house as much as you want. If you want to do a 6x6 or a 60x60, it's up to you. But that's, you know, you do that. And you do the same, and I'll do the same, and these people over here do the same. And the abundance of the crops that they got that year... they had enough to eat and to trade with the Indians and to store up for future years and all of that. And I, that just made me think of that, what Tim mentioned, that, you know, these small, you know, they used to call them kitchen gardens, family gardens, that type of thing, are collectively more productive than the big, you know, agribusiness, that was mentioned. And, seems like if we go way back here that, listen, what, when God looked around and he saw he had this earth, but what was he lacking? He needed somebody to, what was it?
Cultivate
the land, tend the garden. Even
if that's not the case, he's got the power to feed us manna out of the air. Yes. Out of the air.
He has before.
Yeah.
He has shown that before, yes. Yeah. Or
hey, do you guys see
or antelope.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
Did you guys see that there's a new app out for your smartphones called Shut Up Devil? And I've been looking into it a little bit, but Jason, you might want to look into this. It's pretty interesting what this man did. His name is Winkler. I forget his first name, but he came up with an app based on the spiritual warfare that he was under. He said for several months he was just under attack, constantly negativity. Devil bring into his mind sins all the way back from his childhood. And he came up with this app that basically gives you the full armor of God, Ephesians 6. But it also has scriptures for all these common issues, addiction, anger, anxiety. And you can set reminders so that it'll pop up a scripture of encouragement. And I guess he wrote a book, too, called Silence Satan. And it says, you're in a battle for your destiny. When facing an opponent, you better understand your rival. The better your chances for victory. The devil knows who you are, where you came from, and what pushes your buttons. And he will use it all against you. You need to know the same about him so that you can fight face-to-face and overcome his attacks. And then it says, fight back at the foot of the cross. And it's Kyle Winkler, actually, experienced of spiritual warfare. Silent Satan, the book he wrote, reveals the many ways Satan tries to silence us through wounds, accusations, lies, and deceit, and teaches you how to stand strong against him. This battle won't be won with another good message or song, nor will it be won at the place of it will be won at the place of Satan's defeat at the cross of Christ. In fact, every answer and solution to the situations we face are found at the cross. So yeah, I thought that was pretty encouraging.
That is. I'll check into that, see what I can find out about it.
Yeah. It encourages you, too, if when you set these reminders and the scriptures come up, to just say them out loud, no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing. It'd be interesting. It's a good concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, on the day of judgment, when everybody stands, when we all stand before that great white throne, the excuse of, well, I didn't know, I don't think that's going to work. You know? I mean, you can buy Bibles at the dollar store. As John said, you can get an app on your phone. I've got a Bible app on my phone that's just Bible verses, just the Bible. You can get them on the computer. We broadcast the reading of the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, out to the world on shortwave. Not knowing. Well, I never read that. That's not going to work. That excuse is not going to hold any water because the Word is there, and it is more available to His people and the remnant today than it has ever been. And our enemy knows that, and I think that's one of the reasons that we see the battles that are going on today is because, again, time draws short, and it's coming down to the end. Well, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is George.
Good morning, George.
Good morning. I wanted to call and talk about a couple different subjects that you guys have been talking about, and about that aquifer that you guys said stretched about, five states or something. I've never heard of that, and it sounds kind of interesting. Is that like a deep well or something, or is that a man-made
like a cavern?
An underground lake is basically what it is.
Yeah, a cavern that houses an unbelievable amount of fresh water. But over the years,
and it keeps getting filled and filled, and then now it's starting to deplete, I guess.
Yeah, it's diminishing rapidly.
Yeah, and you guys were also talking about the gardens and stuff, And I was just wanting to call and let you know that we have one peach tree in our yard. And off this one peach tree this year, and keep in mind it's only maybe 4 years old, we got about 600 peaches off this one peach tree.
Awesome.
And yeah, from what I can tell of different people that I've talked to, they say that's quite a bit of peaches off one peach tree.
Yeah, so, sure sounds like it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think we got like seven or eight five-gallon buckets completely full, and she's doing some canning and stuff, and we got plenty of peaches for different pies, and she's making jellies and stuff, so that's going to last us for a while. And also at the garden that we got, we share with my mom and dad, I think we planted 4 cucumber plants in this little garden. And Trish has, and my mom have, canned over 100 quarts of, cucumbers, or pickling cucumbers.
Wow.
And the tomatoes and everything are doing fine. I mean, it's a pretty good year for vegetables over here in Illinois.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, you're in that, fertile land of Illinois.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved to Colorado and when I first moved to Colorado and put a shovel in the ground and got a shovel full of sand, I was like, wait a minute, this looks a little different, because in Illinois, you put a shovel in the ground, you got black dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. And on the other subject I was wanting to mention something about, and I don't know if what I'm thinking is true, it might not be, but it's just the thought that I was having while you guys were talking about it, about the Gog and Magog war with Russia. We was reading this week in our little family Bible study about the house, God appointed Cyrus king to, I guess, deliver, take care of the Israelites, I guess, in Isaiah, I think it was Isaiah. And it made me think about the war with Russia. How, what they're doing from, you know, not wanting the homosexuals and all that, and, you know, from what I've been hearing is they're kind of doing more of God's law than what we should be doing, and I'm wondering if maybe God has appointed them to set an example for America and the leaders of America are seeing what they're doing and getting real upset and wanting to basically war with Russia. And I'm wondering if maybe that is what is going to bring about the war with Russia and America. I mean, I don't know if that's the case, and I don't know if I explained it well enough as what I was thinking in my head, but I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Don't everybody talk at once. I think that's just the theme of the Bible, is just what you explained there. I mean, all the prophecies that's ever been fulfilled is because Israel doesn't do what they're supposed to do, and they turn to other gods. They go whoring after gods. They become proud and boastful. All they can talk about is what I did, and never trying to help anybody out. And then God always raises up, you know, has always raised up, and it just happens to be that the Gog and Magog war is going to be the last one, the last time they do it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think it's exactly the way. I mean, I don't know about every detail about the jealousy or about, you know, some of those other, you know, that we're going to look at them and want what they have, or however you take that.
Right.
But
I'm not sure.
Definitely.
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking about, how they're seeing maybe
sure.
What. That's kind of interesting, the way I was thinking about it. I just wanted to call in and mention that and the other things. It's just, you guys have a good day over there, and I'll be talking to you.
Thanks, George.
All right, George. Enjoy those peaches.
Yep. I will.
All right.
Well, we read in Revelation 22. We talk about the New Jerusalem, And then he showed me a river of water of life, clear and crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So, I mean, it's God's word that once he cleanses this New Jerusalem of the tares, that those trees that George is talking about will be there for his people, the remnant.
Amen. Amen.
The other thing I was going to say, along with what George was saying, was I spoke to a man this week, the Rolfer, the guy I go to get my back in shape, and he was telling me he worked hard for, I don't know, basically a week building these raised beds out at his house for a garden to try to be self-sustaining, do what George is doing, canning and all that, and just about finished it, had the plants in for a few weeks, and hailstorm come and pretty much wiped it out. And his wife was devastated. Why would God do such a thing? And he goes, we got to stand on the word. God says he's going to work it for good. And he went on vacation and set the sprinklers or whatever, or had somebody water it, and came back, and it's like the hail never even hit. It's a bountiful feast. But had he been mad and cursed God or been upset about the hail that destroyed his crops, he would have nothing. So I just thought that was a good good example.
Yeah, that is a good analogy.
Be thankful for what? All things.
Yep, rejoice always.
Our pastor taught us that. When he could stand up there in front of the congregation at the last Branson and say that he never had a bad thing happen to him, what a testimony that was.
Yeah. You know, we are to rejoice always. We are to give praises and to, you know, remember Romans 8:28, that he works all things for good. It's easy to say that. It's harder to live it.
Yep.
But we have to remember to say it. We have to remember to read it. We have to remember to encourage each other regarding it, so that, you know, when the hailstorms come, when the locusts of Joel are all about us, as you talked about in church, was that just last Sunday? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, when the physical afflictions come, as the pastor used to say, when the storms come, and boy, they come. You know, that's when the faith and the hope kick in. And that's when we remember, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is just temporary. This that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, it's happening to encourage us. Doesn't seem like encouragement, but it is. It's happened, you know, the things happen to us to strengthen us, to bring us back to him, to return to him, you know, as a people.
Well, it's suffering.
Yeah,
We're called to suffer, and how do we learn obedience? Through suffering, you know.
Right. One of the things I am noticing for sure, though, is people are starting to see that there is no way out of this but repentance, and they know that at least they're starting to see that we're not getting this country back through the political system. It's going to be repentance. I always tell them, yep, in my opinion, it's 2 Chronicles 7:14 or bust. And those, you know, a couple years ago, they wouldn't listen as much as they're listening now. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we mentioned that God Save America Again DVD earlier. If you'd like that, it's a music DVD on it as part of it, and then it's a teaching DVD. And if you'd like it, we'd be glad to send you one. And if you want more, contact us. Many people have ordered countless numbers and pass them out when they're traveling in their own neighborhood, in their own homes, or in their
own
community.
It does an excellent job of explaining who true Israel is.
It does.
Both archaeologically and biblically.
Yes. So if you'd like that, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And you can write to us and just ask for a God Save America Again DVD. We'll be glad to send you one. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, gentlemen. This is Willis over in Illinois.
Hey, Willis. Just talked to George a little bit ago.
Yep, I heard him on the phone. Yeah, I've been enjoying some good peach jelly and blackberry jelly. Fresh homemade. It's been good this year. Pickles, all that good stuff. Hey, I was listening to Solutions last night, and it's kind of funny. They brought up a subject they did on the kingdom, something I've been sort of thinking about here the last couple of weeks myself as far as, it's when we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that phrase has been kind of working on my mind here the last couple of weeks, and as far as, you know, how we actually do that. And in my Bible readings this past year, I've been reading through the Septuagint, the Old Testament, the chronological order. And just the other day, and I believe it was Jeremiah, God was asking a question. It says, who will execute judgment for me? And, you know, with basically the kingdom, the way I understand it, is establishing, one way is establishing God's law here where we're at. And we're supposed to be hearers, or doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And we're all supposed to be a nation of kings and priests. And it seems to me that we need to be executing judgment here in this country and establishing God's law in one way or another. It's like Brother Bill, one of his last comments on the Solution Show last night was referring to the Muslims, the Islamists over there trying to establish their rule for Allah, and why can't we do the same thing here, or we should be doing the same thing here in one way or another.
That's a good point.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying we need to go out and start executing people who are godless and all that sort of stuff. But you know, when in the days of old, when one of the a king would be established in Israel, who would come back to the law, the first thing he would do, well, one of the first things that he, according to scripture, that he did was, he went through the country, got rid of the sodomites, got rid of the trance speakers, and all those who were ungodly, and trying to establish God's law again back in Israel. And it seems to me that we need to figure out some sort of way to do those same things. Because that kingdom is government, and that government is, you've got to have law in a government, and it seems to me that that's one thing that we need to somehow figure out that we need to start doing in this country.
We can do that. We do it just like they did it in the book of Acts. I mean, those guys, I mean, you're not going to tell me the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and John, and Luke, and all the, they were seeking first the kingdom of God. First, they entered the kingdom of God by being baptized. Then they went throughout the land doing God's laws.
Preaching the kingdom.
And it could be as minute as being kind to somebody by holding a door for them. Or it can be as big as saying, you realize homosexuality is a sin, and anybody that practices that, you know, is going to face hellfire or the lake of fire or however you want to put it, or the judgment. I mean, we can do that. We're supposed to establish the law through our lives. Every day of our lives. So all those things can be done. And yeah, that doesn't mean we pick up rocks to stone people, because obviously that can't be done right now. And it wasn't done in Acts. I mean, they were the ones getting stoned for speaking the truth. So those, it can be established, and it should be established. It, you know, if we walk over to our neighbors, you know, to talk to them about maybe a tree that's growing on both sides, you know, we can do that with the law of God written on our minds and our hearts, and the right way. Now, it might not always work out for the best, because some neighbors are not very neighborly, but we can be neighborly.
Yep.
You know, so.
Well, and it has to begin somewhere. And,
it has to begin
and
somewhere.
It begins in the household of God, and that's our households. You know? And,
yeah, it, yeah, sure, individually, each one of us.
Right, and that's where it has to start. It does.
Yeah. But it's the spiritual warfare. That's what we got to remember, too. And I still think that the key to this thing is getting our prayer lives right, where we actually take seriously what we pray for. And maybe what we need to do is to focus on certain things, the remnant, you know, just pick a topic and focus all of our prayers to against that one abomination, one topic. And that's kind of the thoughts I've been having lately. We got to get to the point where we have the faith that whatever we ask in accordance with God's word, that we trust that it'll be done, period.
Yeah. Willis, thanks for the call. We'll try to get. We got one more caller. We'll try to get. We're down to just a couple minutes.
All right. You guys have a blessed weekend.
All right.
Talk to you.
Thank you, brother.
Good.
Thanks, Willis. Got a caller. It's been holding. Caller, thanks for holding. We've got a minute or two.
I'll make it brief. There's a thing in the news. This horrible pastor in Tampa, this black church, has said that they're not going to. Has read the obituary of this guy whose funeral they were going to do. And found out he was married to another man, you know, and they're not going to perform the funeral service, and they're going to end up having to do it somewhere else. And it's this New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Tampa, T.W. Jenkins, minister, and the congregation went to him and said, "We don't want it, and he doesn't want it either." And I ask you to stand behind this man, hold him up. You know. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yep. Amen. Yeah. Get ready for the lawsuits.
That's right.
I heard, too. Yeah.
Thanks a lot,
what's
Bill.
What's interesting is that the IRS is supposedly going to be sending in undercover agents into 501c3 churches, and those churches that would dare speak against the establishment, against the king, against the government, will be losing their 501c3 status. So we knew it was just a matter of time, and we'll see where they stand. I know where our pastor stood.
Yeah, amen.
No king but King Jesus, period. That's those standing in the gap's position as well.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. If you hear this, you may hear this at other times because the programs are archived, and we'll replay this, I think, on Monday evening as well during the regular broadcast hour. Do want to invite you to church. You can come. Not forsake the fellowship. Join us at church tomorrow at scriptures4america.org on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And we don't think you'll be disappointed. Well, thanks again. Hope you enjoy this song.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Right about, right about, right.
our snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.